Our New Testament scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. If you have your Bibles with you, Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 20. And I'm quite confident that most of you are familiar with the parable that Jesus is telling here. It is the parable of the sower. And in it, Christ is demonstrating how it is that various people will hear and receive the word of God. And we'll see that that becomes a prominent theme in the verses that we're going to consider this morning from Haggai. So if you will, open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 4. We will read verses 1 through 20. This is the word of God, not the word of men. So let us hear it as such. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word at once and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Amen. We see in this parable, brothers and sisters, that to hear the word of God is one thing, but to hear the word rightly is a completely different thing. And what a great difficulty it is to truly hear the word of God. If you will now turn in your Bibles to the book of Haggai, a very small but potent minor prophet. If you're unfamiliar with where that is, the book of Haggai begins on page 1468 of the Pew Bible and is the third to last book of the Old Testament. So if you can get to the book of Matthew, turn back a few pages and you'll land most likely on Haggai. Well, several weeks ago, as we were finishing up a series on a vision for this church, I told you I was going to preach a sermon on preaching. And that's what we did that morning. Well, this morning, I'm going to preach on how we ought to hear the Word of God. Whether it's hearing as we come to read the Word privately, or hearing as we come to hear the preached Word, one of the things that Haggai is very intent on as we go through this book is how these people received the word that he had preached to them. And we looked at that word last week in the first 11 verses of chapter 1, where Haggai tells these people, set your hearts upon your ways. Why is it that God's house lies in ruins while you are busying yourselves building up your house? And we summarized then that really the thrust of the book of Haggai is the same of Christ's teaching, where he tells us we ought to seek first the kingdom of God. And seeking first the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, begins and ends in hearing his word rightly. So we're going to read this morning from Haggai chapter 1, verse 12 through verse 15, which is the rest of chapter 1. And I want you to pay particular attention to verse 12, which will be primarily the verse that we look at this morning. Haggai chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, this is the word of God. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Amen. Bow with me in one more word of prayer. Lord, your word is to us a great treasure that reveals to us not only the magnificence and the glory of Jesus Christ, but a word that reveals to us the nature of our own hearts, the nature of our own sin, and the need that we have for repentance. Lord, we thank you that your word instructs us in faith and in life. And we do pray that as we turn, O Spirit, to your word this morning, that you will accomplish that for which you have purposed it. That no false thing would be spoken against you, O Lord, but that truth would be preached, that truth would be received, and as the seed is scattered, that it would fall upon hearts that are ready to receive, that the word would take root, that it would grow, and that it would yield 100-fold. Lord, all this is from you. It does not come from the power of men. And so we pray, O Spirit, that you would attend this time of preaching. Help us to speak, help us to hear, and help us to submit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me tell you this morning the story of three listeners, or rather three hearers of the word of God. The first story is of an old man who had heard many times coming into church, had heard many times the need for repentance, the need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe upon him for the remission of sin. And yet, despite all the times that he heard this word, he never repented. And so this man died and went to hell in his unbelief. Well, the second story is a story of a young woman who frequented church, and she heard often of the law of God, the law that was intended to bring her to Jesus Christ, the commandments which were purposed to instruct her how she ought to live her life. And yet, no matter how often she heard this, no matter who communicated it to her, she walked in her sin. And she refused to hear, and so she went to hell for her rebellion. The third story is of a man who often heard the threatenings and the warnings of Scripture, that the one who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will surely suffer eternal punishment. And yet this man never trembled under the threatening words. And so he went to hell in all of his comfort. What sad stories these are. And of course, the one great thing, the one vital thing that was missing in all of these people's supposed hearing was faith. They never heard the word in faith. They never received it to be true. They never believed the Word of God to be that which it is, the Word of God. And having rejected it, they died in their state of unbelief, and they will bear forever the eternal punishment of God. And I fear this morning that there may be some among you whose case is very similar to one of these three cases that we've considered. That you come into church, that you gather with the saints, that you hear the preached word, and perhaps your parents have brought you up under it, and you've sat on your mother's lap, and you've joined your father around the table of family worship, and hearing the word again and again and again, you've never heard it in faith. You see, brothers and sisters, it is a sobering reality that not all who hear the word of God hear it in faith. And hearing without faith simply means that you have heard nothing at all. And so Jesus goes to great lengths in the Gospels, as we read this morning in our New Testament reading, to teach his disciples the importance of hearing the word rightly. He says in Luke 8:18, "Take care then how you hear." And that's not a topic that we talk about frequently. That's not a topic that we think about frequently. How am I to hear the word of God? Well, in the verses that we've read this morning from Haggai, and particularly in verse 12, what Haggai begins to show us here, or rather, what the Spirit of God begins to show us by the pen of Haggai, is the fruit of Haggai's preaching. The verses that we've read show us how it is that these people heard the Word of God. I need to remind you this morning that we too are all hearers of the Word of God. The one who preaches, myself, I am a hearer of the Word, and all of you here are hearers of the Word. From the youngest to the oldest, children, you are hearers of the Word. And so as we come to consider this, there is a message here, there is a lesson of utmost importance that is for all people that are hearers of the Word of God. And on this occasion, I'm going to use their example to demonstrate for you with as much earnestness as I can how we are to hear the Word of God. Or rather, how is it that faith hears the Word of God? What does that look like? Well, let me first show you this morning that faith hears the Word of God in belief. Faith hears the word of God in belief. Look at verse 12 with me. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. Haggai tells us here that all these people, from youngest to oldest, from greatest to the least, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai. Or literally, that word obeyed, they heard with understanding. They heard with understanding the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai. And there's a spectacular truth in that verse. Notice how the Spirit of God doesn't distinguish between the voice of the Lord their God and the voice of Haggai. He says the people heard both with understanding. They heard the Lord their God, and how did they hear God? They heard God through the message of Haggai, his prophet. There's no distinction there. To hear the preached word is to hear God himself speaking. And how did they receive that word? They received that word in belief. They believed the word that Haggai was preaching was not the word of men, but it was the voice of the Lord their God, as the Apostle Paul commended the church in Thessalonica, that they too had received the word. Not the word of men, he says, but as it is actually the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Faith hears the word in belief. And I'm not going to mince words with you this morning. I want to be crystal clear about this, that there is only one of two ways that you will hear the word of God. Whether that word is read, whether that word is heard, whether that word is preached, there's only one of two ways that you will hear it. You will either be persuaded that what you are hearing is the word of God, or you won't be. That is to say, you will either receive the word of God in a spirit of belief, or you will receive it in a spirit of unbelief. There is absolutely no neutral ground when it comes to hearing the word of God. You either, and I want you to hear this morning, you either hear it in belief or you hear it in unbelief. And it's this that makes all the difference with the word of God in our lives. The author to the letter of Hebrews is writing to the church, and he tells them, he says, Israel also had the gospel preached to them, even as we have had the gospel preached to us. But because Israel did not receive the gospel in faith, because they did not believe it, the preaching of the gospel to them was with no profit. It was with no profit because they failed to believe the word that they heard. And I ask you this morning, my friend, what does it profit you? What does the word of God profit you if you don't believe it? What we don't accept as being true, what we don't accept as being trustworthy, is of no serious consequence in our lives. Children, or those of you who have been to school, if you didn't believe your teacher and the things that your teacher was saying to you, there's no way you'd ever listen to them. And that's what is being told to us here, is that unless we believe the word of God as it is preached, it will be of absolutely no profit to you. Brothers and sisters, I gladly proclaim the remission of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ and his perfect redemption. But I ask you, what does that profit if you don't believe it? It is my delight to preach to you the law of God, that law which is intended to bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ, those commandments which are intended to be a rule for your life. But you'll never yield obedience to those commands if you don't believe them. And under the greatest necessity, I preach to you the warnings and the threats of Scripture, that the soul who sins will surely die, and that many will say to him on the day of judgment, "Lord, did we not?" And he will say, "I never knew you." Under the greatest necessity, I preach the threatenings and the warnings of Scripture to you, but what profit does it have for you if you don't believe it? If you don't hear it, and faith doesn't hear it, and seize upon it, and say, "I believe it to be true. I believe the promise of the gospel. I believe the commandments of God. I believe the threatenings and the warnings of Scripture." No, my friends, you must believe the Word of God, because that is what faith does. When faith hears the Word, it believes. It doesn't doubt. It doesn't linger in unbelief, but it latches on to the Word and it says, "I believe it and I receive it to be true." I don't feel a great necessity placed upon me this morning to give you evidences and proofs that the Bible that you hold in your hands is the Word of God. I don't feel that necessity because Jesus says with the utmost confidence in John 10, "My sheep know me, and they listen to my voice, and they will follow me." And I too this morning have the utmost confidence that wherever that faith is, it believes. It believes the Word of God and it is persuaded of the truth of it. And it hears the voice of Jesus in the Word of God and it follows Him. And you see, only that which is believed has the power to effect change and to transform lives. And so this morning in the sight of God, I would rebuke your unbelief. And as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would call upon faith to believe, not only to hear the Word of God as it is preached, but to be persuaded of its truth, to believe whatsoever the Word says is the truth as it is in God Himself. It is not the words of men. I call upon faith this morning to believe the promises of Jesus Christ in the gospel. I call on faith this morning to believe the promise of pardoning grace. And I call upon faith to believe the hope of everlasting life, because that, brothers and sisters, is what faith does. It hears in belief. That's the first way that faith hears. But let me expand on this a little more this morning under my second point to show you that faith doesn't only hear in belief, but faith hears particularly. Faith hears particularly. I want you to think this morning what an odd scenario it would be, husbands, if you wrote a love letter to your wife to communicate to her your desire and your emotions and your feelings and to convey to her the love that you have for her. What an odd scenario if in reading that letter, your wife turned around and said, "I hate him." No, you write a love letter to evoke feelings and emotions of love. And how odd of a scenario it would be if you think in other terms, that perhaps a poet writes something that is supposed to elicit a laugh and to be humorous, and yet when it's read, it has the adverse effect and it evokes feelings of anger. Or you write something that is intended to bring joy to those who hear it, and yet in receiving it, they actually are brought great degrees of sadness. What an odd scenario it would be if any of that was true. And what I want you to see this morning, my friends, is that the glory of God shines forth so powerfully in His Word that faith is affected and impacted in every conceivable way. Oh, let me rephrase that in a way that maybe we understand a little more, to say, as another person has once said, that the Word of God plays upon the heart of a man the way that a harpist plays her harp, where she reaches forth and she touches every individual string, every particular string. See, that's what the Word of God does when faith hears it. The Word begins to touch every affection and every emotion of the human heart, moving it according to the particular intention of what God has purposed that Word for. Does that make sense? Let me just show you how this is evidenced in all kinds of ways in the Bible. How it is that faith particularly hears the Word. Sometimes faith hears the Word with humility. We see that in 2 Kings verse 22. God is speaking to the king Josiah, and He says, "Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place." Faith hears particularly. It hears in humility. But faith also hears with trembling. And we see that in the 66th chapter of Isaiah. God says, "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Faith responds particularly. Or faith responds with gentleness. James tells us in James 1:21, "Receive with gentleness the word planted in you." Or faith responds with desire. In Luke 19, verse 48, we read that as people came and they heard the ministry of Jesus, all the people hung on His words. Faith received the Word particularly. It desired the words of God. Faith sometimes hears the Word with great conviction. We see that in Acts 2:37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Faith hears with zeal. Luke 24, verse 32, those disciples on the road to Emmaus, what does Jesus do? He opens for them the Scriptures, and what do they say? "Were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?" Faith responds particularly. Or sometimes faith responds with eagerness. Paul, commending the Bereans, says they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day. Sometimes faith responds and hears with gladness. We see that in Acts 2:41, that those that gladly received His Word were baptized, and faith sometimes receives the Word in absolute love. As the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law." Faith doesn't, brothers and sisters, simply believe the word that it hears, but faith responds particularly in a way that is appropriate to what the word is intending to do. And this reality forces us to ask ourselves this morning, do I hear the word in that way? Do I hear the word particularly? Does faith receive it in a particular manner? Or when I hear the word, do I hear it in judgmentalism? Do I hear it in a spirit of boredom? Do I hear it in a spirit of criticality? The Bible never commends that, but what the Bible tells us again and again and again, and there are countless examples, we are to receive the Word. We are to receive it with humility and with trembling and with gentleness and with desire and with conviction and with zeal and with eagerness and with gladness and with love. And you need to stop to ask yourselves, is faith doing that in my life? Am I receiving it particularly? But enough with the broader examples. Let me zero in on our text to show you that this is exactly how these people received the preaching of Haggai. They not only believed it, but they received it particularly. Look at the details that the Spirit of God includes in here for us. At the end of verse 12, we read, "And the people feared the Lord." They feared the Lord. Now we know from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that perfect love drives out fear. So when we read the word fear and people fearing the Lord, we're not to think of His people being terrorized by Him, so to speak. But they received the word with a certain reverence and with a certain awe. And what was the word that they had received? Well, it's what we considered last week. This indictment that God brings against His people. This threatening that because my house lies in ruins, what does God say? God says, because my house lies in ruins, I'm going to strike you with economic devastation. You're going to go to your fields and you're going to have nothing to harvest, though you planted all kinds of things. You're going to go forth and you're going to earn your wages, but it's going to be like putting them into a purse that has holes in it, because I'm going to blow them away. I'm going to blow away all your prosperity to wake you up, to cause you to fear and tremble at my glorious name. And the people respond particularly. How odd, if we go back to that, to think that they would receive this word with smiles and shouts of joy. It's a threatening word. And so what do? Faith responds by fearing God. But look how else they respond in the text that we've read. In verse 13, we read, "Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you. I am with you." And how do the people respond? Well, we're not told explicitly, but we can see from the text and see what activity began to happen that the people embraced that promise. They embraced it and they owned it as their own, and they said, "The Lord is with us, so let's go on building." And notice how they respond particularly. In verse 14, we're told they came and they began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. Faith particularly responded with obedience to the command. Do you see the picture that we get here of these people who finally began to hear the word of God by faith? They feared the threatenings of God. Their, brothers and sisters, is faith. They embraced the promise of God that He was with them. Their, brothers and sisters, is a demonstration of how faith hears. And they yielded obedience to the command of God. There, again, brothers and sisters, is faith. There is faith. Faith receiving particularly the things that God has to say to them. And we see such a wonderful demonstration at what a powerful thing faith is. That faith takes the Word of God and it particularizes it. This is a threat, and so I need to fear, and faith responds with fear and trembling. But the promises are held forth and freely offered, and faith responds by embracing the promises and saying, "I'm never going to let go of these glorious promises." And the commands are given. And faith, brothers and sisters, faith responds to the commands of God by yielding obedience to His commands. That's how faith hears. That's what it means to truly hear the Word of God. It is not simply to believe that the words that you are reading are the words of God, but it is to respond in a way that is suitable to the intention of the Word and for the design for which God has purposed it. To particularly do these things. And so I call upon faith this morning to do your work wherever it is that you, as you hear the Word, would have faith to rejoice in the Word. That you would have faith to weep when the Word tells you to weep. And that you would have faith to hope in the Word and to boast from the Word and to tremble from the Word, to desire the Word and to obey the Word. Faith hears particularly. Well, let me finally add then this morning that faith not only hears with belief, faith not only hears particularly, but faith hears without any hesitation. Faith hears without any hesitation. I want to be very clear this morning on this point. Any hesitation, brothers and sisters, on your part to believe the Word of God, any hesitation on your part to respond to the Word of God particularly, is not the fruit of faith, but it's the fruit of unbelief. It's the fruit of rebellion. Notice how these people came under heavy conviction of sin. We opened up that sin last week in those first 11 verses, and they come under a great conviction of sin through the Word of God. And how do they respond? Well, they don't respond with delay. They don't respond with hesitation. Their cry is no longer that cry that God charges them with in verse 2. This people says the time has not yet come to build the Lord's house. But Haggai shows us here in this glorious reversal that these people stop putting off the Word of God and without hesitation, they begin to build. In verse 14, they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. They went on no longer with excuses. And they no longer neglected the work, and they no longer comforted themselves, and they no longer busied themselves with the things of life, and they were no longer ungrateful, but without hesitation, they yielded to the command of God, and they began to do that very thing that God had called them to do. My hearers, this morning, let me make particular application about this truth to your hearts. I want you to understand that nothing exempts you from the necessity to listen to God. Nothing gives you an excuse to hesitate when it comes to the Word of God. Because faith hears without hesitation. It doesn't hesitate with the promises of God, but it embraces the promises without hesitation. Faith doesn't hesitate with the threatenings and the warnings of God, but without hesitation, faith trembles. Faith doesn't hesitate in yielding obedience to the Word of God. But it obeys the commands. If you search the Scriptures from front to back, from cover to cover, you will never in all of your reading find God looking at His people saying, "You know what? I've given my word to you. And now why don't you go home and sit on it? Why don't you just think about it for a while and you come back to me and tell me when you're ready to embrace my word? You never find God going forth saying, you know, you don't have to do it right now. I'm just giving you something to think about. Faith doesn't hesitate with the word of God. You never have the luxury to say, not yet. I'm going to postpone it for a little while. You never have the luxury to say that. And there are huge implications in that for us. That means, brothers and sisters, the reality of being a disciple in the kingdom of Jesus Christ means that you cannot hesitate with the word of God because your circumstances of life aren't favorable. Or you're having a tough time and a difficult time, and we sympathize with that and we mourn with those who mourn, but that doesn't give you a license to hesitate with the word of God. You don't get to hesitate with the word of God because you're facing trials in your life. That's when you need the word of God most. You don't get to hesitate with the word of God because you've got doubts and because you've got fears or because you dislike what it is that the word of God is saying or because you're hurt and you're wounded. You don't get to hesitate with the word of God because that is not what faith does. And hear it this morning. Faith never hesitates with the word of God even after it counts up the cost of listening to the word of God. Being a disciple in the kingdom is costly. But faith doesn't hesitate for one moment to embrace the reality of that and say, I will follow Christ no matter what it costs me. I will build His church no matter what it costs me. If it costs me friends, if it costs me reputation, if it costs me my very life, I will not hesitate. Faith doesn't hesitate. And we see a glorious example in that when Jesus comes and as He's ushering in His kingdom, He comes to the fishermen. And what does He say? He gives His quickening call and He says, leave your homes, leave your ships, leave your nets, come follow me. And what does faith do? Faith doesn't stand to hesitate, but faith follows. And it does that which God bids us to do. And God gives grace. And He gives blessings to those who don't hesitate. I am with you, declares the Lord. I am with you. Brothers and sisters, if the word tells us that we need to receive a particular truth, then without hesitation, we receive that truth. If the word tells us we must believe, then without hesitation, we must believe. If the word tells us don't, then we don't. And if the word tells us do, then we do. And I ask you this morning to stop hesitating. Some of you have been hesitating with the word of God your entire lives. Stop hesitating with the word of God. There are many who have heard and they have hesitated and they are now among the lost. It is a terrible truth that the pews that you sit in have held souls who have hesitated so long and to such a great degree that those who are possibly had sat right where you are seated are now lost from all hope and all possibility of happiness because they continued to hesitate with the word of God. And they were lost not for outright atheism, but they were lost because they hesitated. They hesitated to tremble at the threatenings of God. They hesitated to yield obedience to the commands of God. They hesitated to embrace the promise of Christ crucified by faith, accepting and receiving and resting in Jesus Christ. And they hesitated all their life. And they are lost forever. Brothers and sisters, faith doesn't hesitate with the word of God, so stop hesitating. Stop hesitating. Will you see the Lord do a work in this congregation? Do you desire to see the Lord do a work in our midst as He did in Haggai's day? Well, if so, then I want you to know the great necessity that lies upon us to listen to the Word of God, to hear it, and to hear it in belief, and to hear it particularly, and to hear it without hesitation. You see, as God is calling these people and as He calls us to seek first the kingdom of God, He is instructing us that this is how we begin to build the temple. This is how we begin to build the church of Jesus Christ. This is where seeking the kingdom first begins. It begins by hearing the word of God and hearing it with faith. But I've told you enough of duty this morning. And what is supremely needed above all things is the work of the Spirit. Oh Spirit, will you be willing to come even as Christ has promised to make your people willing? Well, that will, Lord willing, be our subject next week as we consider the way that the Lord stirs these people to action. Let me press upon you one last time. From now on, give yourselves to the holy practice of hearing in faith, of hearing the Word of God in belief, of hearing the Word of God particularly, and of hearing the Word of God without hesitation. Because when you do that, then you're united to the truth of God. And so united, you will never perish. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your Word, and we pray this morning for faith to receive it. We pray that having ears, we would not merely hear, but that we would receive it as true, that we would receive it particularly, and that we would receive it without hesitation. Grant this to us, O Lord, by the work of Your Spirit. Amen.